بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lessons, we finished the first two treaties, Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, and Al-Qawa'id al-Arba'a, the four fundamental principles by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to revise, the first treatise, Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles. In this treatise, we covered a number of things. The first thing that we covered, the first thing that the Imam, he mentions is four obligations upon every single Muslim and the evidence for this. Four important obligations upon every single Muslim and the evidence for this. So who knows these four obligations? Who knows? Daud?
Knowledge, righteous actions, da'wah,
intention. Good. Al-ilm, wal-amal, wal-da'wah, wal-sabr. Knowledge, righteous actions, da'wah, and patience. And what's the evidence for that? Who knows the evidence?
Surah
Al-Asr. Wal-Asr, innal insana fi khusr, and the rest of the surah. Then after that, the author, he mentioned three important principles. And these aren't Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. These are three other important principles which he mentioned as an introduction. Tayyib? Good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا وَرَزَقَنَا وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَمَنْ أَطَاعُهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. That Allah has created us and He has provided for us and He did not leave us without an objective. Rather, He sent to us messengers. So whoever obeys these messengers enters into Jannah and whoever disobeys these messengers, he enters into the fire. The second important principle, the second important principle.
Allah is not.
Good. أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى أَن يُشْرَكَ مَعَهُ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ لَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. Allah is not pleased for any partner to be made to Him in ibadah. Any angel, any messenger, any prophet cannot be made a partner to Allah when it comes to ibadah. And then the third important principle. Qasim, do you know? The third important principle. Tayyib?
To not love the people that oppose
Allah. Good. That it isn't allowed for a person who has iman in Allah and the final day to love those people who hate Allah and His Messenger. So part of our Islam is showing bughd towards those people who are enemies to Allah and His Messenger. Good. These were the three introductory principles. Then the author mentions Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, the three principles. So what are Muhammad Al-Usul Al-Thalatha? What are the three principles? Who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? Good. What is your religion? And these are the three questions every person is going to be asked in the grave. Also, in the treatise, the author mentions the three levels of our deen. That our deen is divided into three levels. The lowest level, then the middle level, then the highest level of our deen. So what are these three levels?
Islam, Iman, and Ihsan.
What does Islam refer to? The apparent actions of a person. And there are five pillars. Abdurrahim, what are the five pillars of Islam? Ahsant. Shahadatain, and then as-salah, wa-zakah, wa-sawm al-hajj. All of these are apparent actions. Then the level which is higher is iman. And iman isn't just the apparent actions, but it's the inner belief as well. And there are six pillars of iman. Muhammad, the six pillars of iman. Al-imanu billahi. Ahsant. Yawm al-akhir. Khayrihi. Khayrihi wa sharrihi. The six pillars of al-iman. Then the author mentions two important principles right at the end. The first principle is, he said, أَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَكُلُّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. That the greatest thing which Allah ordered with in the Quran and in Islam is Tawheed and everything else which He loves and He's pleased with. And the greatest thing which He warned against is Shirk and everything which He hates and He is displeased with. And then He mentioned another principle. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has died. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died. وَدِينُهُ بَاقٍ. But the religion of the Prophet, it is here. Meaning Al-Islam. Al-Islam has remained behind. He said, مَا مِنْ خَيْرٍ إِلَّا دَلَّ الْأُمَّةَ عَلَيْهِ. There is no goodness except that the Prophet has guided his ummah towards the goodness. وَمَا مِنْ شَرٍ. And there is no evil except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned against this evil. So these are some of the things we studied and we discussed in Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. Then we studied the second treatise, and that is Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'a, the four fundamental principles. These four fundamental principles, what do they relate to? What do they discuss? Tawheed and Shirk. Explaining Tawheed, explaining Shirk, how to answer some of the doubts of the Mushrikeen. So, summarize for me the first principle. What's the first principle? Ifran, the first principle. Good. The Mushrikun of Quraysh, they used to accept and affirm the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ يَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. And we mentioned many ayat regarding this. Second principle, Umar, the second principle. Can't remember. The second principle, who knows? The Quraysh, they say that we don't worship these idols in of themselves, rather they take us closer to Allah. They are our intercession towards Allah. This is our shafa'ah, this is our wasila, this is our tawassul, this is our qurba. These are the doubts which the Quraysh used to use. So it's important to understand this. The Quraysh never used to worship the idols and the dead people because they believed that those dead people can help them and harm them. They never believed this. They knew it is only Allah who can help and Allah who can bring harm. So why did they make dua and invoke these idols and these righteous dead people? Because they thought this is our intercession to Allah. This is our shifa'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, the third principle. The Mushrikun of Quraysh, we shouldn't think that they only worship the idols. They used to also worship many different deities. They worship righteous people. Some of them used to worship angels. Some of them used to worship awliya. Some of them used to worship the prophets and the messengers. Some of them used to worship the sun and the moon. Some of them used to worship the trees. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called all of them kuffar. Meaning the principle is, there's no difference between somebody who worships the Prophet or worships a tree. No difference. Because this is shirk and this is shirk. And the shirk is kufr. It's the same. So if somebody worships shaitan, Iblis, or he worships Isa alayhi salam, or he worships Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no difference between both of these people. Both of them are mushrikun and kuffar. Because there is no difference between shirk and shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a people. They didn't just used to worship the idol made out of stone. They used to also worship awliya and salihin and angels and prophets. Allah tells us in the Quran, we mention all of the evidences. And yet, all of them were considered to be kuffar. And then the final principle from these four principles. Go on, Sahil.
Shirk is worse today than before.
Ahsant. That in many cases, the shirk of today is actually worse than the shirk of the Quraysh. In which way? We mentioned two ways. How is the shirk of today worse than the shirk of?
Gracious to worship righteous people, but people nowadays they worship people that are
impure. Ahsant. Firstly, at the time of the Quraysh, their idols and their ma'budat, those who they used to worship, were actually righteous people. So we mentioned Allat was actually the name of a righteous person. Then after he died, they started invoking him. And Al-Uzza was the name of a righteous person. And also the other gods, Ya'uq, wa Ya'uth, wa Nasr, and the other deities that they used to worship, these were five righteous people. They were awliya. As for the people who are committing shirk today, in many cases, the people that they are worshipping, they weren't righteous people. They were the biggest fasiqeen, the biggest mufsideen, and yet they are worshipping them. Some of them admit that we don't need to pray because the angels have forgiven the prayer from us. Or they were always in a state of impurity. Or they did other action, yet they are worshipping them. That's one way. The second way in which shirk is worse today than the people of Quraysh, because at the time of the Quraysh, they used to worship Allah when they were in severe difficulty, and then when they were in ease, they used to worship the idols. So at the time of the Quraysh, many of them, their shirk was only in times of ease. But when it came to difficulty, da'awullah mukhlisina lahuddin, like Allah said, that when they embark upon a ship and they about to drown, da'awullah, then they supplicate to Allah. فَإِذَا نَجَّاهُمْ لَلْبَرْ, and then when Allah saves them to the land, then they start committing a shirk. The people of today, they are committing shirk, whether it is in times of ease or times of difficulty. So these were the four principles that we studied in Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba. And now we come to Al-Usul Sitta, the six fundamental principles. First of all, the synopsis and then the breakdown. So these six fundamental principles, or this treatise, what is it? This treatise is more comprehensive than Al-Usul Thalatha and Al-Qua'id Al-Arba'a. Because Al-Usul Thalatha and Al-Qua'id Al-Arba'a, the principles which the author mentions, they relate to Tawheed, Shirk and Al-Ikhlas. These six principles, they talk about Tawheed and Ikhlas and many other things as well. So for example, the author, he speaks about the rights of the rulers. He speaks about the reality of knowledge and the essence of knowledge. He refutes some of the doubts and many other things he talks about in these six principles. And why are these six principles important? Because our religion is built upon these six principles. And these six principles Allah has clearly explained in the Quran with many, many evidences. And yet despite these six principles being so clear, many of the people, they are doing the opposite. And they think Islam is the opposite to these six principles. And the author will clarify this. Also, by knowing these six principles, you can know who is from Ahlus Sunnah, who is following the way of the Salaf and who is not. So if a person's da'wah, if a group's da'wah is based upon these six principles, then you know that this person and this group are following the way of the Salaf. And if the da'wah of a group or the da'wah of a person or the actions of the person goes against one of these six principles, then you know that he's not following the way of the Salaf. And he's not following the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, a breakdown of these six principles. The first thing that the author mentions is the muqaddimah, the introduction. And in the introduction, he explains why these six principles are important. He mentions how clearly Allah has explained these six principles. And he also mentions how, despite these six principles being mentioned so clearly in the Quran, so many evidences, how the majority of the people are going against these six principles. And then he mentions the first principle, the first asal. And the first asal is an explanation of ikhlas, tawheed, and its opposite, which is ash-shirk. This is the first principle. And obviously he mentions this as the first principle because our religion is built upon this. The second principle which our religion is based upon is al-ijtima', is unity. That the Muslims should be united. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with divisions and disunity. And this second principle is something which the da'wah of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah is built upon. In many books, he mentions, many of his works, he mentions the importance of being united. In fact, if you look at the da'wah of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, you will see that he united all of the people. All of the people in the Arabian Peninsula, when he first came, all of them were disunited, following different ways and different tribes and different madhahib and different aqa'id. And he came and he called to unity. We have to be united. We have to be united until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united the whole Arabian Peninsula by his works and by his da'wah. So this is something which he called to. And this is something which is from our religion. It shouldn't be known that we seek to divide the people and cause divisions amongst the people, or cause divisions even amongst ourselves. Rather, the da'wah of the Prophet and the scholars who came after them and Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab is that we have to unite the people upon the truth. The third principle he clarifies is as-sam' wa ta'a, which means hearing and obeying and accepting the authority of the Muslim rulers, even if there's some corruption amongst them. The fourth principle is bayanul ilm wal ulama, is an explanation of knowledge. What is knowledge? And who are the ulama? And what is fiqh? And who are the fuqaha? And then he also explains those people who pretend to have knowledge and yet they do not have knowledge. The fifth principle is regarding the awliya of Allah. Who are the awliya of Allah? What is the reality of somebody being a wali? Because we hear this term a lot. And who are those people who people think they are awliya of Allah, but they are not from the awliya of Allah? And then the sixth principle he mentions is, he refutes a doubt. And this doubt is that the common Muslim should not try to understand the Quran. Rather, the common Muslim should only read the Quran for barakah. As for understanding the Quran and trying to learn about the meanings of the Quran and the rulings of the Quran, then you cannot do this. Only a great, great scholar, a mujtahid, an imam, mujtahid mutlaq, only he can understand the Quran. Everybody else should only just read the Quran just for barakah, just for the reward of reading the Quran. As for trying to understand the Quran, then you are not allowed to do this. So he refutes this doubt. And he mentioned that this doubt is from the doubts of the shayateen. Because the Qur'an, who was it revealed to? The Qur'an was not revealed to a group of people who were all scholars. Rather, amongst the Arabs, amongst the people at that time, there were Bedouins. There were, many of them were illiterate people. Many of them were farmers and shepherds and very simple people. And yet Allah ordered them to tadabbaru al-Qur'an, to contemplate over the Qur'an and study the Qur'an and learn the Quran. So if we now say that 95% or 99% of the Muslims should not be trying to understand the Quran, it's only for the great, great scholar, you don't understand the Quran, then this means all of those ayat in the Quran in which Allah tells us to contemplate it, all of it doesn't apply to us. None of it applies to us. It only applies to 1% of the ummah. This doesn't make sense. So when Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not come close to zina, who amongst us doesn't understand this? Everybody understands that when Allah says لا تقربوا الزنا, what this means. When Allah says وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. Do we require an imam who is a mujtahid, only he can understand this? No, everybody understands this. When Allah says وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, worship Allah alone and do not perform shirk. Do we need a scholar to understand this? All of us understand. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be good to your parents. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say good to the people. And when Allah orders in the Quran to be وَعَتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, all of you should be united upon the rope of Allah. Can only a scholar understand this? No. The majority of the ummah, all of us can understand this and contemplate and take a lesson from this. Yes, there are some ayat which a scholar needs to understand, like ayat regarding divorce and ayat regarding laws of inheritance and things like this. Scholars understand this. But the majority of the Quran, the core of the Quran, has been revealed for us to understand and contemplate. So then he refutes this doubt. So in this lesson now, we'll just go through the introduction, and then in next lesson we will go through the first principle. So in the introduction, The author, rahimullah, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he says, "Min a'jab al-ujab, from the most amazing affairs, wa akbar al-ayat al-dalati ala qudrat al-malik al-ghallab, and from the greatest signs that demonstrate the ability of al-malik, the owner, and al-ghallab, the victorious ones, sittatu usulin, are six important principles. بَيَّنَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيَانًا وَاضِحًا لِلْعَوَامِ And these six fundamental principles, Allah has clearly explained them for who? لِلْعَوَامِ For the common people. Allah has explained these six important principles, not just for the ulama, for the common people. So all of us can understand these six fundamental principles. فَوْقَ مَا يَظُنُّ الظَّانُونَ And this is much more, and much more clear than what many people think. And then the strange thing is, ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا غَلِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَ الْعَالَمِ That after this clear explanation, many of the intelligent people, وَعُقَلَى بَنِي آدَمِ And many of the intelligent ones from the children of Adam, they went against and they erred regarding these six fundamental principles. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He has mentioned many clear principles. From the clear things which He has mentioned are these six principles. These six principles, the deen is based upon them. And if you read the Quran, there is evidence after evidence after evidence regarding these six principles. And then the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even more clarity from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These six principles are so clear that the awam can understand them. The common Muslim can understand these six principles. Yet the strange thing is that the uqala, the intelligent ones, the clever ones, they are the ones who are making mistakes with regards to these six principles. They are going against this. So for example, the first principle we mentioned, at-tawheed and al-ikhlas, and staying away from shirk. Every page in the Quran, there will be a mention of at-tawheed and ikhlas, or the command to stay away from shirk. Almost every single, if not every single page. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, every single ayah in the Quran is an explanation of at-tawheed. And in next week's lesson, I'll explain to you how this is. And there are people out there, huffaz al-Quran, they have memorized the Quran from the beginning to the end. Some of them might have memorized the Qur'an in all of the different riwayat of the Qur'an. And some of them might be scholars of the Qur'an. Yet despite them memorizing the Qur'an and reading these pages every single day, they are still committing a shirk. So how strange is that? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent all his life calling to at-tawheed and warning against a shirk. He began with it and he died upon it and all the prophets came before. Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years, calling to Tawheed, warning against ash-shirk. Every page of the Quran, almost every ayah of the Quran, talks about Tawheed and warns against ash-shirk. You have people who are memorizing these ayat, revising these ayat every single day, know how to recite these ayat in 11 different narrations or 11 different qira'at, and yet despite this they are committing ash-shirk. So this is strange. That Allah clarifies these principles for the common person, and yet the huffaz and the qurra, the qaris of the Quran, they are the ones who are going against this. So this is a summary or an introduction of what he mentioned. Inshallah, next week we'll go through the first principle. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.